mentioned, and perhaps you guys think I've lost my mind, last Sunday evening we were playing with sponges and wringing out green water and all those kinds of things. Tonight we've got the podium set up with the communion table Bible on it. And I mentioned this morning that we were at a point tonight going to involve the men in services, and we plan to do that this evening because our desire eventually for the bulk of our time together and to end our looking at the Word of God will be to read through Psalm 119 from beginning to end this evening. And so we're going to task the men with a portion each of Psalm 119. And we'll get to say more about that in just a minute, but just heads up, men, that we'll have you take part of those verses to read. And kind of what inspired that in my mind and heart, of course, not only because of the the importance or the central focus the Word of God is in Psalm 119, but I thought about those verses in the Old Testament, one's in Deuteronomy 31, one's in Nehemiah 8, where it talks about how that God caused or commanded the Word to be read to the people. One of the struggles in preaching, because we are to read the Word and give the sense. That's how preaching is defined. One of the struggles is the balance of the two. If we study a passage, we study a passage. And we may not read a big chunk of Scripture, but that doesn't mean, of course, that that's not profitable. It very much is. And so there were times in the Old Testament where they had seemingly days where they stood and read the Word of God in different seasons and times. And so we'll do that this evening in just a few minutes, and praise the Lord for that when we get there. But we read here in Psalm 138, we sort of started with this verse in the sense that this is the verse that we used on the seminar banner and the bulletin, and to kind of be our touchstone verse for the Word of God in this seminar and study and focus upon it. And that is here in Psalm 138, read verses 1 and 2. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now yesterday as we began, we read this verse and made a couple of comments about what it has to say. But to imagine that God would magnify anything above his name is really too wonderful for us to fully grasp. As he tells us here that his word is put above his name, it is magnified. And that word magnified simply means to elevate above. In this sense, magnified is not so much talking about magnifying or making larger something that is small, or bringing closer something that is far away. You might get a little bit of that definition out of it, because through the Word of God, God is brought close to us. He is magnified, or he is brought to the forefront. But the word magnified used in this passage, and it's not used in this way as much today, but it is some. It means to elevate above, to raise in estimation, to exalt. Sometimes we magnify the faults of others, and we're doing is raising them up. We're elevating them in a bad way, in a negative way. God does this to his word. He elevates it. He causes it to be raised above, to be exalted above even his own name, to have praise and glory above his name. His name is wonderful, powerful, comforting, and intimidating, but his word is even more so of those things. Hopefully yesterday left us with that thought and with that understanding. In doing so, God places a great level of importance upon his word, after all which we understand and know is the revelation of himself, and is the sum total of what he would have us to know about time, about history, sin, grace, salvation, about truth, love, life, service, about history, about responsibility, about heaven, about eternity, prophecy and the future, time to come. All of those things are contained in this book. of what God would have us to know right here before us. It is indeed greater than any other possession we own, more beautiful than the most beautiful of God's creation upon this earth, and certainly it is more useful to us than any tool that we possess. And that is why we put so much emphasis upon it here, as we serve the Lord, as we preach, as we teach in our Sunday school classes, as we give out flyers or tracts, as we go out over the waves of the internet or videos and things. This book is always at the center of everything that we do because of its importance. God has magnified it above His name. We had better be using it. If we get away from it, then we have nothing to stand upon as a church or as a people, no doubt. And so we certainly do see its great importance. No place is this more displayed than in Psalm 119, our subject for tonight. You can turn over to Psalm chapter 119. This psalm is given to a great meditation on the revealed will in Word of God. In a book of gems, and Psalms definitely is a book of gems. I mean, you read through it and so applicable to our daily lives, so easy to draw inspiration and comfort and strength, so easy to lifted up when we need to be, so easy to find comfort from these 150 different songs that were given, mostly by David, but then by a few others. But Psalm chapter 119 stands out as the greatest or most precious of those gems, not simply because of its length. Everybody knows that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Everybody knows that. Everybody understands that. And so it's not just that it is that long that causes it to be a precious gem. No. But it is its subject matter. It is the way that the writer approaches it in such a beautiful form, in such a beautiful fashion. We believe it was written by David, and it exposes the beauty, the awesomeness, grandeur, and power of the Word of the Lord. And we find from the way that David approaches this a great reverence, a great respect, that David felt humbled by the incomparable Word of God to the point where he truly believed that without God empowering him and working in his heart and life, he could not keep it. He could not use it correctly in his life unless God gave him the ability. Time and again in this psalm do you see David asking for help to keep, asking for help to do, asking for help to be faithful, asking for help to recover, asking for help from where he failed, asking for help to understand and to know and to hide away in his heart the things of God presented in His Word. So it's apparent that even he felt humbled, that he felt really unworthy to have the possession of the Word of God in his hands that he could live and that he could use in his daily life. And now, sort of quiz time, stop and think, how much of the Word of God did David have? He was able to write these 176 verses about the Word of God. Did I get that right? 176, I think it is, yes. He was able to write all of these things about no more than the first five books of the Bible, for that's all he had. Now, I often think that David had, of course, those five books, but it seems to me he's called a prophet that David understood even more of the Word of God than he had physically available to him at the time. But that's all he had. That's all he could read from. That's all he knew was what we commonly refer to somewhat disdainfully at times as the law. Those first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they were all he had. And yet, he understood that in them were the things that he needed. And he was able to draw all of these verses and all of these thoughts out of this, those first five books of the Bible. Now we have in our possession today the completed canon of Scripture. We have in our possession today the ability to study and see from Genesis to Revelation how it all ties together, how it all works, how God promised a Savior would come, how a Savior came, how God has promised, or Christ has promised that He's coming again, how the prophecy is that He will come again, what eternity is like, and so much more, of course, unfathomable depths we're able to have in these 66 books that make up the Word of God. David only had 5. And it kind of puts to shame, I guess, our love, our knowledge, our meditation upon the Word of God. And I really believe that these verses, this psalm, came from David's continual meditation upon the Word of God. And it didn't come all at once. I don't believe that it came even over a short period of time. But perhaps as David traveled, as David went through his life, as David fled from Saul all the way to the kingdom and through his adventures in the 40 years that he reigned over Israel, I believe David somehow kept a notebook, kept a journal. And I believe that these writings in this psalm are the compilation, if you will, of the things that he wrote down, the way that he felt about the Word of God on a particular day or at a particular time, a particular failing that he felt, or a particular joy that he experienced, or a particular strength that he needed from it. And so he wrote these things, you know, over the course of time, continuing to meditate upon the Word of God. And I believe you can see that because some of the things that are, I guess, hinted at in what he writes in these verses, you can kind of see them happening in his life sort of at different times. And so I believe it was sort of that. It was his constant meditation upon the Word of God that brought him to be able to put together this incomparable passage, this incomparable book about the Word of God. Now, it is the entirety of the subject of this this chapter, we know. And in it, we find 10 different words that reveal to us one singular subject. And these 10 words are synonymous to a degree, though we might be able to define them somewhat a little differently. They point us to a little different nuance or a little different application in the life of David or in our lives today. We still find that these 10 things all point us to the Word of God, the revealed words, the inspired words, the preserved words. As we read through this tonight, understand that you will hear these words. Of course, you'll hear about the law. The law is simply anything spoken from God. Don't get hung up on the law being what only was given on Sinai. Everything God has ever spoke is law to us, is what we are required to live by. It also talks about His way, or His providence and our obedience concerning our lives, His way. Thirdly, it'll talk about His testimonies. They are declared to the world and beyond contradiction. God has His testimonies to the world. His commandments, of course, also, number 4, given with and by the authority of God to govern our lives. Number 5, the precepts, His precepts to rule personal conduct. Number 6, simply His word being the declaration of His mind. Number 7, the judgments of God framed in infinite wisdom. Number 8, His righteousness. It is holy, it is just, and it is good, the very standard of what is right. Number 9, statutes, these being fixed and determined, a perpetual obligation. And then the last one is truth. You'll hear these scattered throughout. Truth, of course, a doctrine settled forever in heaven. These are the words that David meditated upon. And he didn't just put together this psalm hurriedly or overnight. And I don't want to take anything away from either end here, because God uses man. And of course, it is the Holy Spirit that spoke these words. They are inspired. But God also works through the tool that He has. And so could the Holy Spirit have moved upon David's heart and he began at verse 1 and wrote 176 verses and they all started with different letters of the Hebrew alphabet? Surely it could have happened that way. More likely, using human instrumentality, as we see throughout Scripture that he does. David meditated, David worked, David continued to come back to this wonderful subject and put so much emphasis on it. And we know in this chapter, it is broken up into 8 verse sections. They all begin in those eight verses, of course, with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. They are, some people refer to them as the ABCs of Christianity and some other things. But they do begin that way. And so David put a lot of work and effort into that, being inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit given by God. And they all mention the Word of God to some degree. Now, there are a few verses that don't. There are a few verses. I counted five as I looked through here. Sometimes you hear three, sometimes you hear four. The reason why you hear different takes on the verses that don't is because there are a couple of verses. Let me point them out and we'll get to our reading tonight. If you look at verse number 84, I believe is one that I had marked. Yes, verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Now, some people count this, some people don't, because the word judgment's here. And that is one of the words for, of course, his word. But used in the way that David uses it, he's talking about judgments being executed against him. So some people count it, some people don't. And so there are a few verses like this. Verse 74, of course, doesn't mention it at all. I think it's 121 and 132. And so those are really the only verses that don't have any mention of the Word of God in them. But they all certainly do work together in a great way to point us to the importance of the Word of God. So just take a moment and ready yourself to hear this psalm read through in its entirety. Keep your mind focused, your heart open and tender before the Word of God as the Spirit would move upon your heart to put together the things that are here in this psalm as it is read in its entirety. I'm going to have our men one at a time come up. The pulpit Bible's up here. It is sectioned off nicely, eight verse sections. I'm going to ask each of the men to take three of those at a time. So you're going to read three 8-verse sections of the passage. And then the next man will come up, so kind of be ready, and we'll just keep moving through as we are able. And I think probably the easiest way to do it is start at the back and just work up to the front. Brother Bill, if you want to come on up. Come on up and prepare to read. And then after him, we'll just work up. Brother John, Brother Mike, Brother Sky, Brother Josh is going to read. Brother Wally, you'll take the last, and then, or not the last, I'll finish up. We got the pulpit Bible set up over here if you just want to. You can lay your own on top of it if you want, or just start reading from it. Starting in verse 1, read the first three of those sections down to, verse number 24.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity but walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with the righteousness of heart when I shall have learned my righteousness. I will keep thy statutes, I will forsake me not utterly. For with all shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of the night. I have rejoiced in the way of the testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in the precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not the commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast first which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did set and speak against me, but their servants did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my light and my counselors.
Verse number 25.
My soul pleadeth unto thee, quicken thou me according to thy word.
The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law.
Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I had a few other comments I wanted to make, but in reading that, I think we're just going to conclude with the word of the Lord as we have read it tonight, and let it just be in our heart, and just pray that the Lord would be with us in our understanding of it. And I encourage you to go back and read through the 119th Psalm and really meditate upon the things David said. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.